The theme of this week's talk is Oxfording Picture Number 10, Entering the Marketplace with Extended Hands. And this is our final picture in this series, believe it or not. I mean, it seems like we've been on these for a long time, but a short time too. And so this week, this first week, we'll have the chance to get acquainted with it and just to see what it brings up for us and how we relate to it. And as I mentioned before we started our guided meditation, this entering the marketplace with extended hands shows the ox herder after all the seeking and hardships and adventures and meditation experiences they've had returning to the world. So we get the sense from this picture, for one thing, that our spiritual journey doesn't and on the mountaintop or in our little isolated hut, but with our integration back into everyday life, maybe seeing things from a different perspective, though, because we were in our little hut on the mountaintop. And this is a stage that some of us might feel really happy that we're getting to, because our practice in the world is so relevant and so meaningful. On the other hand, others of us might feel like we aren't quite ready to leave the mountaintop yet and all its mysteries, and maybe be feeling a little bit of resistance to this picture. But whatever we might be feeling right now, here we are entering the marketplace. So I'm going to start today with a process that we've used before, on the first Sunday of the month with these pictures, to encourage all of us to reflect on the picture and the verse and just to see what the images and words say to us individually. So we're going to spend some time looking and listening, you know, taking in and receiving the spirit of the words in the pictures and just noticing what responses they evoke in each of us. So don't assume you already know what the picture or verse is saying, which it's easy to do sometimes. And after each viewing and listening, wait for the words or images to really speak to you, find their place within you. And the response you have can be very short and spontaneous. You know, maybe it's just one thing or two things. You don't need to analyze. You don't need to elaborate. And you can do this reflection, just do it mentally if you like, or if you want to, you could have a pen and paper and maybe jot down a few quick responses if that's going to be helpful for you. So while I get the picture up for the screen sharing, you can take a moment just to settle, connect with the present moment, closing your eyes if you like. So I'll get ready and bring that picture up. And so here is the picture. So let's start first just looking at the picture. You know, just look, let the image find its place for you, reflecting silently for a little while. And then as you feel ready answering these questions, what aspects of this image strike you or intrigue you? And then noticing what emotions or sensations or thoughts arise when you look at the picture. And now I'll go on to the verse. I'll read it, and then we can do the same process. Barefooted and naked at breast, I mingle with the people of the world. My clothes are ragged and dust-laden. I am ever blissful. I use no magic to extend my life. Now, before me, the dead trees become alive. So you can read this, pick this poem for yourselves. And going through the same process, noticing, completing this sentence in your mind, noticing what intrigues you or captures you with these words. And then completing this sentence. These words invite me to feel, you know, what? Emotions or sensations. These words invite me to think. So a little later this morning, you'll have the chance to move into breakout rooms and share your associations and understandings about this picture. And for me, I feel like this is a really nice way to begin to get to know the Oxherding pictures. When we got together as LDLs to plan our Sunday classes for this month, we did something a little bit like this, you know, sharing our impressions about the picture, and it really helped me a lot to hear how everybody else related to the picture and the poem. We had a lot of similar thoughts, but everybody had their own unique perspectives. So, you know, it isn't so much that there's right or wrong answers. It's more like considering all the different facets of the picture and the poem, different ones that show up most clearly for different people. So I'll end the screen sharing there. So, okay, I'm going to get this process of sharing started now by talking a little bit about my own experiences with the picture and the poem and what it brought up for me. I mean, maybe this is a little bit more elaborating than you will do in your short sharing, but this is some of my thoughts. Well, to begin with, the first emotion that came up for me when I started to look at this picture was a little bit of sadness. And this was partly because I'm not sure I want to leave the mountaintop just yet. You know, I kind of liked all that esoteric and mysterious part of this cycle. And it's also because this picture, seeing it, I realize we're coming to the end of the Oxherding series. And I've really enjoyed working with it, so I don't think I'm quite ready for it to end. So there's a bit of regret in there. But at the same time, I really recognize the importance of this picture and the fact that we do come back into this world, and our practice in daily life is just as important as our practice on retreat. So on to the actual picture and verse. So one of the first things I noticed that really struck me in this picture was how much the appearance of the Oxherder had changed. If you remember back in the early pictures, he looked, you know, quite young, hardly more than a boy, and he had like this full head of hair up in his little top knot. But now he looks a lot older with a bald head, and this made me think first that, wow, a lot of stuff must have happened to him to cause this transformation. And also that it wasn't something that happened overnight. It took some time for him to go through all this process and be ready to return to the marketplace. So that's something we might consider. And then there's the way he's dressed. Bare-chested, simple clothes. He doesn't have much in the way of possessions but his walking stick and what he's carrying on his back. So he looks really humble, unpretentious. In fact, maybe some of you who were here a couple of weeks ago might remember that Suze described him as this scruffy looking guy, which he kind of is, you know. So he definitely has no trappings to make anybody think that he's something special. And I also noticed, though, that he looks really happy with a smile on his face and a kind of cheery, lively air. Like he's taking in everything he sees, and he's just interested and delighted by what he sees. And then there's the poem. First, there's the title, Entering the Marketplace with Extended Hands. So the title itself suggests a lot of openness to whoever he might meet in the marketplace, and also a spirit of generosity, of being willing to give and help, to lend a hand in any way that he can. And then the poem. Barefooted and naked abreast, I mingle with the people of the world. My clothes are ragged and dust laden, and I am ever blissful. I use no magic to extend my life. Now before me, the dead trees become alive. So just like the picture, this poem really has that sense of humility and simplicity when it talks about how he's barefooted and naked of breast, with clothes that are ragged and dust-laden. So again, you see that he really doesn't care about looking fancy or impressing anybody, or about having many possessions. And he says, I mingle with the people of the world, which suggests he's just down there with, you know, whoever he meets. He isn't setting himself above anybody. He's not really trying to impart his wisdom to anybody in a special way. He's just mingling, open to anyone he happens to meet. He also says, I'm forever blissful. So you get a real sense of happiness and joy and contentment that he just carries with him no matter what he's experiencing. And then he goes on, I use no magic to extend my life, which implies to me that he's not afraid of death. He's just ready for whatever comes. And then finally he says, now before me, the dead trees become alive. And this might be one of the more mysterious lines, and I'm not sure exactly what it means, but to me it suggests a couple of things. One of those is that maybe what appeared dead or dull or uninteresting to the Oxherder in the past now feels full of life. And we might take from that for ourselves a sense that when we really pay attention to the things around us and when we're really mindful of them, they come to life. You know, we see them in a fresh way. When we were planning for the Sunday sit last month, one of the things that came up was how in our practice we work to make what is unwelcome something we can be with. But it was also mentioned that we can take it even a step farther. So the unwelcome things actually become things that we embrace and maybe become welcome. And, you know, that was a really high bar. And we all acknowledge that. Wow. Usually we aren't able to do that. But I think about this when I hear those words, now before me, the dead trees become alive. You know, that sense of what we didn't really want or we were indifferent to can be transformed and can come alive, which is quite inspiring. And maybe this also applies to the Oxherder, him or herself, that what was once dead or dull or disconnected within him or her now has come alive. One of the commentators that I looked at when I was preparing for my talk suggested that this sense of dead trees coming alive also applies to the people the Oxherder comes in contact with. That there's something about him or her, the kindness, the radiance, that brings these other people to life too. And that's a kind of inspiring thought that might happen for us as well. So to kind of summarize, one of the things I see in this poem and picture is a really beautiful portrait of the qualities that this practice develops in us. For sure, there's humility, you know, not trying to impress anybody or feeling a need to worry about one's own image. There's a lack of attachment to material possessions and the impression that what we have, you know, might make on other people. And there's an openness and acceptance. He or she mingles with everybody. It doesn't matter what their position in society might be. Another quote from the commentaries, he leads innkeepers and the fishmongers in the way of the Buddha. So the most humble people are right there, ready to respond to the teachings. And the extended hands imply generosity, willing to be of service. We might also mention the four Brahma Viharas in connection with this picture: kindness, compassion, joy, equanimity. You get a sense that all of these qualities are there in this ox herder. So yes, you know, it's a really inspiring picture. Looking at the picture and poem, we might notice the qualities we see here that really attract us and that we would like to develop more fully in ourselves. So that might be one thing to think about as we reflect on the picture. But in addition to using the picture for inspiration, I found myself thinking that it would also be a good thing for us to reflect on our own practice and to really recognize and appreciate how we have changed. Not just thinking about the qualities we would like to have, but recognizing the beautiful qualities that are already present. And this isn't so easy to do. You know, it's really easy for me, and I suspect that for many of you, you know, to look at this picture and see it as a picture of an ideal person coming back to the marketplace, being kind and generous and full of joy, inspirational to everyone. You know, seeing this thing, I'll think, well, hey, you know, that isn't me. And so our tendency is to start thinking about and cataloging all of our shortcomings, all the ways we don't live up to that ideal. And then we feel kind of discouraged. But in fact, there might be a lot of really positive changes in us that have happened since we started practicing that we don't really appreciate or recognize. If we think about it, we might realize that even if we aren't completely equanimous with all things, maybe we're a lot more contented with our lives now than we were when we first started practicing. Or maybe we might notice that we're less jealous of other people or less inclined to blame them for things that don't go the way that we think they ought to go in our lives. Or that even though, sure, we do get irritated and angry sometimes, those emotions don't last as long and we don't hold on to our grudges and resentment the way that we used to. It just comes and then it passes. Or maybe we realize we're a lot kinder and more accepting of ourselves. And we aren't filled with all that self-blame and self-hatred that once caused us so much pain. It's really good for us to see these things, you know, even if they're not perfect, you know, not to dismiss them because we're so busy focusing our shortcomings and let that idea of the perfect be the enemy of the good. That's really an important thing to do. And we might find it hard to do it, since thinking of our own good qualities might sound like we're being, you know, too proud or too conceited, but you know, it isn't so much about that, you know, not about thinking, oh, wow, what a good yogi I am. Wow, look how much progress I've made, you know, not that kind of attitude so much, but more recognizing, you know, hey, this practice is actually working. It really has led to changes in me and in the way I interact in the world. And I think that's often the way these things show up. It's not so much a sense of, oh, wow, I finally accomplished this with all my hard work, but just kind of noticing, huh, I've been going along and going along, and hey, this isn't such a problem as it used to be. So it's good to be aware of that, as well as, you know, the inspiration the picture provides. I thought it also might be worth mentioning here that with the sense that we're not perfect, that entering the marketplace isn't a one-time, once-and-for-all thing. We enter with a certain amount of skill and wisdom. We've learned some things, and then maybe we might need to withdraw for a little while. We go back to our hut, our meditation and contemplation, and then we return again. And when we go to the marketplace, we might feel there's some parts of the market that we aren't quite ready to enter yet, or certain people we can't really mingle with yet in a very skillful way. And so we can appreciate that and do what we need to avoid getting ourselves into situations that are just more than we can really handle quite yet. So it's good as we enter the marketplace to remember that we need to care for ourselves as well as care for others when we venture out there. Another thing that came to mind as I studied this picture was that it would be worthwhile to reflect on what happened to the ox herder that caused this transformation. What happened during all that searching and all that time on the mountaintop that made it possible for him or her to enter the marketplace in the way that they do with all these beautiful qualities? And I think we can be pretty sure that it wasn't because the ox herder was sitting there on his cushion in his little hut on the mountaintop, gritting his teeth and saying to himself, I'm going to be generous. I'm going to be compassionate. I'm going to be blissful. God damn it. It's not like that, I'm sure. But more like he saw or understood things that caused him to, you know, lose a bit of that clinging and craving. Some of that obsession with self-image, some of that unhappiness or anxiety. Something happened that caused those things to fall away, even if just a little. So that would be a good topic to think about, to discuss and to reflect on. And especially in terms of ourselves, how has this process worked for us? What have we seen in our own experience that has led to changes? And finally, there's entering the marketplace with extended hands. That phrase really speaks to me of a spirit of generosity, of welcoming everyone, of extending a hand where it's needed, being of service. So this picture might also invite us to consider the role of generosity and service in our own practice. What are we doing now to lend a helping hand and to make things better in this world? What might we like to do? You know, not considering this out of a sense of guilt that we aren't doing what we should, we need to be better, and we need to do more, but more out of a sense of, you know, interest, you know, love for what we might want to support or do or that we're already doing. You know, thinking about what comes to mind from our natural impulses to share or show compassion or appreciation. So, you know, thinking of things that would contribute to the benefit of others, but also be appropriate and enriching for us too. You know, thinking about that interconnectedness that Sue's talked about a couple of weeks ago. So those are some themes that came up for me. The spirit of generosity and service is part of practice. Beautiful qualities of the ox herder as he or she returns to the marketplace. And how those are developing in us too with our practice. And then this question of how our meditation practice actually changes us. What do we see that changes us? So we can enter the marketplace with those qualities of the ox herder. So let's just sit for a minute. Returning to the poem by Peng Yun from our guided meditation. When the mind is at peace, the world too is at peace. Nothing real, nothing absent. Not holding on to reality, not getting stuck in the void. You are neither holy nor wise, just an ordinary fellow who has completed his work. Thanks, everybody, for your attention. And now we'll have some time for some small group discussion. Sorry for interrupting your contemplation with my goofy screen share, but hopefully you had enough time to look at the pictures. And for those who maybe have other things going on and for one reason or another aren't able to stay, or maybe aren't in the right frame of mind for discussion, you can say goodbye now, and we're really happy that you were able to join us. You're always welcome for whatever you're able to, you know, do of our day. So I'll let people have a chance to do that if they need to. And for our discussion today, I'd invite you to share your own impressions and responses to the picture and poem. You know, taking a moment to remember that scruffy guy entering the marketplace with open arms, blissful, mingling with all, seeing the dead trees come alive, and just remembering how the image and poem affected you. What really struck you? What emotions did you feel? What thoughts arose? And remembering, too, we're all likely to notice different things. So there's no right or wrong impressions. And the diversity of impressions can help us to see the full picture. So I'll break you up into groups of three or four, and we'll have about 15 minutes for our discussion. Hi, welcome back, everybody. I think that everybody that's coming back is here. Looks like it. So now we have some time for you to share anything you would like from your small group discussions, or if you have any, you know, comments, questions, this is your time to speak up. So the floor is open. You can indicate that you would like to say something by using your little virtual hand under the reaction button, or maybe if you just wave your hand like that, I will also be able to see you too. Oh, okay. The first person I saw was Gene. I don't know if he was first, but go ahead, Gene.
Thank you. I'm not sure that it's important to be first, but I really am grateful for your insight about the phrase, "Now before me, the dead trees become alive." I thought, how in the world do we get from this beggarly looking fellow coming into the marketplace to changing dead trees into live ones? And I think the key for me was the insight that the perspective may be what has changed, so that the dead trees can become alive to the practitioner. I'm sort of hopeful that that will be true for me. So, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and as you say, you know, it's all about the perspective. So much of it is about the perspective. You know, what once looked, the conditions may not change, but the perspective is very different. And that's the whole thing about practice. So thank you, Jean. And now Sean and Bruce, whoever might be speaking, or maybe both, we don't know. Please go ahead.
It's going to be me. I think it's important that these pictures, that the whole journey brings the yogi back to the marketplace, which is back to the world in which we live in, and that practice is it's not just about sitting on a cushion, and it's about bringing it into our life, our daily life, in our home, our family, and wherever we live, to bring the goodness of the changes that we experience back into the world. It makes me think of when I started meditation. I was pretty young. I was in my 20s and early 20s, and I was doing it because I wanted to escape. You know, I wanted to escape the world. I just didn't fit here. I didn't get it. I just felt like the odd person out, and I just wanted to leave. And that's not what it's about at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is an aspect of that, of being able to go to those deeper places of concentration and have wonderful experiences inside. But, it's about being able to live here. Yeah, which is not easy to do. So yeah, so it's kind of a cycle. And then you can leave and go back to the hut.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In and out of the hut and in and out of the marketplace. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you very much for that comment and insight. And I think what you say about starting practice, I think a lot of us have that feeling in one or another way of doing it to sort of escape from something, mm-hmm. escape from the stress of our lives, or because we feel like we don't quite belong. But I know that I had some of that feeling too, but I think over the years as we practiced, it really does change. I mean, one thing that has changed for me is that there's less of a sense that there's something I really need to escape from, you know, or that sense of I don't belong in this world. Some of those things really change and make it possible for us to really value the seclusion and quiet, and yet also value being in the marketplace. So yeah, it's really important. Thank you. Let's see. Anybody else have any comments? Suze, I see your hand up.
We chatted. I love these breakout groups, and I so appreciate the trust that we've built with each other. So about the Sangha, we talked about how sometimes it's really, really hard to be in the marketplace. That whether it's the small self got big or whatever, it can be really hard. And I liked what both you said and then Sean just said. You know, you can go back to, you need to know when you need to go back and kind of regather and, you know, do some self-compassion or hang out with a Dharma buddy for a while before, you know, and get perspective again, because we're, you know, we get so stimulated and we have our habits, we have our patterns, and all of those, and we've spent years getting really good at those bad patterns, or, you know, the ones that shouldn't call them bad, but they're whatever they are, we're good at it, you know. So I really appreciated that being brought up, that it can be really challenging. And I think that we need to remember what has changed in us that brings us the confidence that we can come back in. We can leave, but we can come back in with all of what we got, you know. So anyway, just a thank you to my little group.
Yeah, thank you, Suze. Yeah. That is so important, I think. And I think too about the ox herder, and you know how much he has aged over this journey. So that made me think too that it's like it's a process that takes time, and we don't get over our difficult habit patterns overnight. And so that sense of, you know, being compassionate and kind to ourselves while we're making this journey is really important. Thank you. Let's see. Steve.
Yeah, we talked about that coming and going back and forth thing. But part of it is that, and I think, Lyndall, you were talking about this too, it's sort of like the goofy happiness of it, the blissfulness of it. Not this is like, I'm going to concentrate and I'm going to figure exactly what out, but how the practice makes it like you can be in the marketplace in this sort of blissful, joyful way and see all the suffering of the world and not have it be like you can find a way to actually contribute to that. And it's kind of fun to have this be the thing that ends the cycle. I don't know, that it's like kind of a happy, goofy thing in some way. So, and barefoot and you know, I don't know. It's just fun. So.
Thank you. That's a really nice perspective of that Oxorder, happy and goofy. But it's sort of kind of, there is that.
There's wisdom and knows how to contribute to others. So that kind of all of that together is really a great part of the practice.
Yeah. And that sort of happy and goofy is sort of the unpretentious part of it, of not making a big deal of oneself, which the Oxforder definitely is not doing. I mean, maybe even really going the opposite direction. But yeah, that unself-consciousness. So there's all this wisdom there, but no one is making a show of, oh, how wise I am. It's not like that at all. It's much more lighthearted. Yeah, thank you. Lots of, so many beautiful aspects that this picture shows. It's really, really rich, really nice. So I think it's probably time for me to go to our closing now. It doesn't look like anybody else has any burning comments here, but I really thank you all for the insights that you shared and for participating today. And I'd also briefly like to mention that we all have the opportunity to be generous and to be of service to our Sangha through the practice of Dana, donating to SIMS in terms of money, but also in terms of time through volunteering. And, you know, it's a wonderful way to enter the marketplace with extended hands and, you know, often a fairly easy and pleasant way. And there's lots of opportunity, there's an easy button to donate on the website when you come in, and there's also some information on volunteer opportunities. And so let's sit together for just a few moments to close. Thanks to everybody for joining us for this first talk on the 10th Oxfording picture, and I have the feeling that we'll have a lot more really good discussion as the month goes on. So have a wonderful day, everybody. Good to see you.